Members and members of the public, we're going to call the Appropriations Subcommittee on Education to order. Joanne, could you please call the roll?
Madam Chair?
Here.
Senator Diaz?
Here.
Senator Baxley?
Here.
Senator Book?
Here.
Senator Flores? Senator Mumford? Senator Pizzo?
Here.
Senator Simmons? Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. And also, members of the committee and of the public, if you could silence any noise-making devices you may have. And anyone wishing to speak before the committee can please complete an appearance card if you haven't already done so. Senator Baxley, are you ready to make an introduction?
Thank you so much, Chairman. Today's a special day for me here in the Capitol because we have some guests that I want you to meet. I'd like the opportunity to introduce to you some students from the College of Central Florida, my alma mater. And visiting here at the Capitol is a group of College of Central Florida students. Some of them are from Citrus County campus and some from Marion. It's been a long time, but 1970, yeah, it was there I graduated. These students that you see are our future, and I'm very proud of the transitions they make from earlier learning and also from the world of work and the world of education as they combine those forces in their lives, and we're glad they're preparing for the next step. These students are, some of them are majoring in biochemistry, biomedical science, social welfare, business, and pre-med. 95% of the graduates from CF are found working in our local workforce and or continuing their education at a university nearby. Thank you for being here with us, preparing the future for us, and I'm very grateful that we get to serve you and that you get a glimpse of it here. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much for being here. We also have an intern in our office from UCF as well. So in 1970, wow, I don't remember that year well.
But we had electric lights.
Barely. Anyhow, like I said, welcome. Thank you for being here. So today on our agenda, we have a presentation from the governor's office on the budget recommendations. I'm sure at this point, Ms. Kelly probably needs a cough drop because I think I've seen you all day on TV everywhere I've been speaking on the same subject, but it is now to the specifics of education, which is near and dear to all of our hearts. So thank you for being here, and we look forward to your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Sorry, let me get this situated. Yes. So OPB will have a new education policy coordinator later this month, but since she's not on board full-time yet, I'm pleased to present the bold vision for a brighter future budget for education for you today. For those that were here this morning, you've already seen this chart. It highlights the total recommended budget with total funds and then general revenue only. The next chart shows a little deeper into the division and Department of Education with all of the different budget entities that are highlighted there. The bold vision for a brighter future budget makes key investments in Florida's school system. The governor is recommending over $21.7 billion in total funding for the Florida Education Finance Program. This recommendation results in a per student funding amount of $7,653, which is an increase of $224. The base student allocation grows by $50. To achieve the $21.7 billion in total funding, $425 million in additional state funding, as well as $142.3 million in required local effort revenue is provided, for an overall increase of almost $700 million. Highlights of the increases in the FEFP include $50 million for a total of $211.9 million in funding for school safety initiatives, $10 million for a total of $79.2 million for funding in mental health initiatives, and $423 million for a new initiative to help recruit and retain great teachers and principals. This will replace the existing Best and Brightest program, and the governor will be announcing the specific details for this initiative in the coming weeks. additional investments in education are highlighted here, including $2.5 million in recurring funding that is recommended to continue to provide additional security to ensure children at Florida's Jewish day schools can learn in a safe environment. The budget included $1 million last year for this program and $2 million in the current year. The governor proposes $10 million to establish a program to cover the costs of training for teachers to earn our educator certificates or industry certifications in computer science. This program would also provide bonuses to teachers that teach in those computer science courses. Governor DeSantis issued an executive order last week that charts a course for Florida to become number one in the nation for workforce education by 2030. And to provide students the necessary knowledge and skills to succeed in jobs in the 21st century. Associated priority workforce initiatives in the budget include pathways to a career opportunity grant of $10 million for school districts and colleges to develop high-quality workforce apprenticeship and other industry-specific learning opportunities for students. Programs will promote partnerships between high schools, post-secondary institutions, and local businesses to align Florida's graduates to business needs. The Work Florida Initiative provides $26 million to support statewide efforts to align students in Florida to workforce programs at state colleges. This initiative will focus on aligning our graduates to the business needs and utilizing job growth reports and industry partner feedback to expand existing programs to meet workforce demands. The governor establishes the Last Mile College Completion Program by providing $1.5 million for an incentive program to assist up to 1,000 students who have dropped out of their associate's or bachelor's degree program to be able to return to school and graduate. Governor DeSantis is providing $18.8 million to address the current wait list for the Gardner Scholarship Program. This increase provides a total of $147.1 million for the program. The governor's budget includes performance funding in the following areas, an increase of $2 million for a total of $6.5 million in funding for district workforce programs, an increase of $4 million for a total of $14 million in funding for state colleges and for their workforce industry certification programs, as well as a $30 million increase in state investment and equivalent increase in institutional investment for a total of $120 million in funding for the Florida college system. And finally, an increase of $30 million in state investment and an equivalent increase in institutional investment for a total of $620 million in funding for state university system performance funding. Next are three charts that show the historical funding, first for the K-12 public school funding, then for the state college system, and then for the state university system, just to highlight those increases over the last 10 years. That concludes my quick overview, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Senator Pisa?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can I ask if you know, you said that in short order we're going to have somebody that's actually assigned to this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So if you don't know, and I don't know, it's fine, we can find out. But any idea why we've limited the RLE millage rate to new construction only, and not, it was one of my notes that when I was reviewing it, why we've only limited to new construction and not to increase values of existing residential and commercial properties?
Yes, Senator. The governor viewed the property tax cut as a significant portion of his tax cut package, so he was able to reduce the millage rate by 1.157. In order to save taxpayers that $289 million.
Senator Flores?
Thank you very much, and thank you for, I think, what is a really good start, certainly for the governor, but I think for the state on education. I specifically wanted to ask about the Last Mile program. I think this sounds like it's a really great idea. Too many times we hear of students that they're really close and they can't, oftentimes what I hear is for financial reasons. So if you can give a little more insight as to what is the governor's thoughts behind that, maybe, you know, where this came from.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, yes, you're exactly right in your posing of the question, and that's why he wanted to propose this. It would look at those students that are like within 10% of having enough credits to graduate, and it would incentivize the universities or the college to reach out to try to get those students back in to complete their degree.
Okay. Oh, I only get two, and that's
limit. Absolutely, that's fine. I'm the freshman. That's fine.
And you're recognized. Go ahead.
From a very macro level, because I know we have. Sometimes it's geographically specific. Sometimes it's a statewide issue. But just we have teacher shortages and staffing shortages and all that stuff. Can you point to this freshman senator where, in relation to last year's budget and prior year budgets, where this governor has accounted for some flexibility for school districts statewide to be able to stopgap some of these things and fill these, you know, where is the flexibility in us being able, I say us, to our respective constituents, to be able to have the flexibility to address some of these critical issues?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, yes, Senator, the base student allocation of $50 is the potential flexible funds that all the school districts will have per student in order to fund those necessary increases that are in. Each district may have different priority needs. That's why the governor wanted to have at least that $50 allocation as part of the base student allocation.
Okay. Any more comments? Senator
Mumford.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Ms. Kelly, thank you again for a very precise presentation. You mentioned this morning, and again, Seth, I want to make sure that I got this right. The best and brightest, that's folded in the FEFP. But I understand that the governor commission is working on perhaps some new guidelines in terms of the expenditure of those funds.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Senator, the actual policy proposal associated with that will be announced by the governor probably within the next few weeks.
Well, for the last 3 years, mental health, the issues of mental health has been the number one concern of school superintendents throughout the state. I think I may have saw it this morning, but I don't see it here. Where is that reflected in the governor's budget, the increase in mental health?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Senator, the mental health allocation within the FEFP is increased by $10 million to get to a total of 79.2.
And the BSA, I think, went up, I got $50 a student.
That's right.
Right. That's an increase from $50 over last year's BSA.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Kelly, and thank you to you for carrying around a 6-inch binder.
That's got all the numbers right there.
And we have one person from the public who would like to speak.
Thank you, Madam.
We have Gary Montgomery from the Love Learning Academy. Mr. Montgomery, you're recognized.
Greetings, Madam Chairman and Vice Chair and Senator Mumford and Baxley and Mr. Diaz. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I'm Pastor Gary Montgomery with Living Stones International, and I'm here to represent Cove Learning Academy. Living Stones is a children and family social service outreach organization that focuses on children with an incarcerated parent, on probation, or those who are at the poverty level. We are currently working with the Department of Education through a pilot program through K through 8th grade, to work with children who, in school, they're having behavioral issues because of the traumatized that they have because of an incarcerated parent. As a former chaplain with Department of Corrections, I had saw firsthand what the impact of incarceration has on the family. And when I saw a statistic that says 70% of inmates' children will themselves be incarcerated within their lifetime, I knew that I had to do something about it. And that's when I came out of chaplaincy to start Living Stones in our community of Tallahassee. Not only are we working with For 6 years, we have started an after-school program for those children. And we have connected with over 400 children through Department of Juvenile Justice, Invest in Children Agency. And we also are the civil citation provider for Department of Juvenile Justice for Leon County. So with those 400 children, we're proud to say that they are not in the juvenile justice system. With an average cost of $6,600 per children, we have saved the DJJ system about $2.6 million in savings to keep kids out of the system. So I'm glad that the governor has increased the budget through the K through 12, because we're praying that some of that will trickle down to our Cove Academy. Because what's unique about our program is that we're going in the school, in the middle school and in elementary school, to support the teachers in helping those behavioral issues that those kids are having in school. So we meet with them sometimes during school, at lunch, or after school, where we're teaching them social and learning behaviors so that they can behave a little bit more better while the teachers are trying to teach. So seeing the trauma that these children have, I just know that the pilot program that DOE has, we're just praying that it will continue. And just seeing the governor, like I said, his program of towards that those young folks, because they are our future. And going into the school, oh God, these children have a lot of issue. And I'm proud to say that they need us. And we have a very good track record. Livingstone's has been around for 12 years. We also engage the parents in our program, because you can do whatever you want with the children, but we have to connect the children with the parents into our program. So we have a program that's called Parents Engaged for Life, and we're also a certified facilitator for 24/7 dads. So we try to bring in the entire family to embrace them so that they can come together on one accord so they can all be better citizens. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm just glad to be here support the increase, and also to say Living Stones all the way.
Thank you very much for being here, and thank you for the work you're doing to help us keep these kids out of prison in the future. So thank you very much. All right, well, with no other business before this committee, I guess Senator Diaz moves we adjourn.